Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. We're talking about Governor Jay Nixon's State of the State address before the Missouri legislature last night. We'll see if Missouri Governor Nixon was in tune with the state legislature during last night's annual State of the State address in Jefferson City. St. Louis Public Radio's political reporter Joe Manis is in Jefferson City with our State House reporter Marshall Griffin. They join us for this postmortem, as does University of Missouri St. Louis political scientist David Robertson. He joins us by phone from Rolla, Missouri. Thank you all so much for being with us. I know you had a big night, a long night last night, but thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Pleased to be here.
Let me begin. Joe, I'll start with you. What's your headline out of last night's message?
Well, the headline that I put on our story is that the governor played it safe. There was very few surprises. He didn't make any. Often in a final State of the Union or State of the State address, such as what President Obama did a week or so ago, they throw out some curveballs because it's kind of a what the heck, let's just try it. And Nixon didn't do hardly any of that. I mean, even the things that he pressed that he was for, like more LGBT protections and ethics, were things he talked about before. He really didn't throw any curveballs. He just figured, that he knows the legislature is going to be opposed to almost everything he's trying to do anyway. So it's kind of like, why bother?
All right. Marshall, how about you?
I'm going to steal a line from House Speaker Todd Richardson. Nixon takes a victory lap. So that's something that the speaker said, not during his response, his official response, but in a press conference afterwards, when asked to sum up Governor Nixon's address. And the governor did spend a lot of time talking about his accomplishments over the past 8 years, said that he had five goals that he had for his time in office, and that four of those five goals were met. The one that he said has not been met was ethics reform. The four that he did list off was creating more jobs, also balancing the state budget without raising taxes, keeping a lid on college tuition, and also providing better health care to more people in spite of not being able to get Republicans to expand Medicaid.
All righty. And Dave Robertson, your headline?
7 years of progress, and we need one more. Please, guys, please.
Well, he is a lame duck, obviously, and is this, in a sense, kind of an exercise in futility, do you think? The governor as a lame duck, not well appreciated by the Republican legislature. What's the point of really making any real proposals? What do you think?
Well, he's still the governor, and he still can push a little bit on the agenda here and there. It's just a question of how big the agenda is, and it's not going to be very big at all. If he can get a little bit of progress on a couple of the issues that are still hanging or that still need work, jobs, for example, college access, the margins of health care, and he can get the legislature to attend to these a little bit, that would be a big victory in his book.
Well, that's the question. Can he get the legislature to really do anything with him or for him? Marshall, what do you think?
I don't think so. I think he will spend a lot of his final year in office playing defense, trying to stop the Republican House and Senate from getting their agenda through. I don't know if you've heard yet, but just a few minutes ago, the House passed a proposed constitutional amendment to allow for a photo ID law for voting, along with the implementing bill. That's something that that Republicans have been pushing every year since 2006. And Governor Nixon vetoed one bill that actually made it to his desk, I believe, in 2011.
Yes.
And so I believe that's what Governor Nixon will be spending most of this year doing, is trying to shoot down and veto whatever it is that that the Republicans send him that he doesn't like.
Joe, he'll certainly veto the voter ID, won't he?
Yes, I think especially if it's in the if it's as it has been earlier, where it's extremely restrictive from his standpoint on the number of photo IDs that are allowed. It's basically unexpired driver's licenses, military, and if you have a congressional badge and a passport. I mean, that's pretty much it. Now, in some states, they've allowed gun certificates, I mean, concealed carry certificates to be used. Other states allow student IDs or homeowners association IDs. So far, none of that has been included here. Now, just to emphasize to the listeners, this is a two-pronged thing. If they get a proposed constitutional amendment on the ballot, which the General Assembly can do without his signature, that would have to be voted on first. They're passing separate legislation with all the details, like I just mentioned. The governor vetoed that in 2011. I'm guessing that whatever they come up with, he'll veto that too. So it's going to be a while. I mean, and even if they gets on the ballot for this fall and voters approve it, it still wouldn't go into effect in 2018. And again, there could be haggling for years over the implementation bill, and that could delay it even further. So this is a long-standing drama.
Marshall, before our broadcast last night, you came on and said you were expecting a big surprise from the governor. There weren't too many surprises for most folks. What was that surprise you were anticipating?
Well, it wasn't so much that I was anticipating it, but I actually had a copy of the address and found something that just really, to me, is something that came out of left field, and that's why it was a surprise. And I am using a sports metaphor deliberately here. And that was his proposal to try to get lawmakers to regulate daily sports fantasy sites. I mean, it's something that he has never commented on, never talked about. And all of a sudden, in his State of the State address, boom, let's start regulating daily sports sites because, you know, it's gambling. It's something that can have an adverse effect on kids. We got to do something about it. This is something he's never never had any opinion on, and all of a sudden he brings it out in the State of the State address. And I don't think it's not going to be a big issue, but to me it seems that he's looking for one more, you know, cherry on top that he can add to his legacy if he can, you know, try to get something out, something passed. And I will tell you already, I asked the Republicans at the press avail last night. Kurt Schaefer actually pretty much was shaking his head. Just thinking, where did this proposal come from? Thinking that it was a ridiculous proposal. Ron Richards said, "Well, yeah, we might actually take a look at that this session."
Dave Robertson, what do you make of that?
It can be a little bit popular because it became a big issue when some questionable activity by the big sports bettors surfaced in the national media last year. So there may be a little bit of a push among some people in favor of more regulation. It's a state that sees gambling as kind of a mixed blessing in a lot of ways. So it may have a little bit of legs, but I doubt that the governor will be able to take much credit for anything that comes out. It may not resemble what he had in mind.
I'd like to get to a couple of specific issues now, and let's start with the one that's already been mentioned a couple of times, and that would be ethics. Here's what the governor had to say on that issue.
The people of Missouri are nobody's fools. They understand a donor who writes you a fat check expects something in return. They know that if a lobbyist showers you with gifts or takes you to the country club for cocktails and a surf and turf, he's going to lean on you before dessert.
Governor Jay Nixon, Joe Manis, isn't the legislature already ahead of him on the issue of ethics?
Yes, I think that's one of the reasons he mentioned it. He had talked about this in the interview that he had with me a few weeks ago, where he kind of did basically an overview of his State of the State address. But he was basically complimenting the General Assembly. He actually called out for praise House Speaker Todd Richardson for bringing it up right away. I think in some ways he was trying to put out an olive branch here, saying, rah, 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 I'm glad you're doing this. And so I think that may be the one bipartisan effort that may be done. And part of it's because of embarrassment. Todd Richardson is the House Speaker because the last one had to leave because of, you know, inappropriate tweets with text messages with a college-age intern. I mean, there's been a lot of this stuff going on that's just made the General Assembly look bad. So this year may finally be the year where they take action on some of these things, basically lobbyists' gifts and the revolving door, because at least half the lobbyists outside the chamber are former legislators. So, I mean, So there seems to be a common effort to try to do something about that.
Dave Robertson, I'm not sure that I've seen the legislature move this quickly on anything over the years than they have coming out of the gate so quickly on ethics.
It's a combination of all the things that Joe mentioned and the fact that legislatures generally in the United States are not held in very high esteem at all. And some citizens really don't make much of a distinction between the U.S. Congress and other legislative bodies. This certainly was a blow to the prestige of the legislature, and I think that almost anything you could do to raise it would be a positive thing at this point, and I think all the parties see that.
And Marshall, he mentioned, of course, Medicaid expansion again. That ain't going to happen, as they say. The legislature is pretty firm on that.
It ain't going to happen. That is true. The governor did. He made a mild push. He's made stronger pushes for Medicaid expansion in years past, but I think he knows it's not really going anywhere. He didn't make room in his proposed budget for any drawdown of federal dollars that would go toward Medicaid. So I think he knows that it's he's fighting a losing battle there, but he still needed to get the pitch in, at least on principle, and he did do that.
Joe, what about that budget?
Well, there's a couple things. I think you're going to see a fight over Medicaid anyway, because even though he didn't do the expansion, there's some increased costs that are factored in the budget. And in fact, he's asked for a supplemental for the rest of this current fiscal year. And much of that is driven by higher Medicaid costs. It's primarily driven, according to the budget director, by increases in prescription drugs and things like that. But in the response press conference last night, the Republicans were going crazy about that. So I think they'll probably be discussing it. State Senator Kurt Schaefer, who's chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, brought it up.
Mm-hmm.
General, so this is also a popular issue among conservatives to really bash at this. So I think you're going to hear a lot of stuff about that. Now, the budget did increase higher ed spending by about 6%. In exchange, though, they aren't to are to freeze tuition. There is some extra money for the state's foundation formula, which is the primary aid program for public schools. But again, even with that extra money, we're still about 40% below what the state government would need to spend to fully fund the formula. Right. So, I mean, that's sort of where we are.
Thoughts, Dave Robertson?
I think they're going to go through the usual fights about changing priorities and cutting expenditures. And don't forget that there are, in an election year, there are people who would like to cut the budget further, or cut the revenues further, cut taxes. And that's going to have some pressure on the other side of the budget, in addition to disagreements over what the budget actually is and how much of a surplus there will be.
I want to pick up on the election year aspect of all of this, and we'll do that in just a moment, but we have to take a break. We're talking about Governor Jay Nixon's State of the State address before the Missouri legislature last night. We're doing analysis of that now with St. Louis Public Radio reporters Marshall Griffin, Joe Manis, and with UMSL political scientist Dave Robertson. Back in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back. Joe Manis is with us. David Robertson joins us from Rolla, and Marshall Griffin also with us. Let's get back to the fact that this is an election year. Marshall, I'll start with you. Was the fact that this is an election year reflected in any way in his speech last night?
And I would say, not really so much. So much of his speech last night was focused on his legacy. He talked a lot about what he accomplished. He talked about his view of how things have changed over the past 8 years, and or not just the 8 years, but since he first got elected to office in the 80s. That's how he started out his address. He also talked about and recognized some of the people that were in the audience, and talking about some of the accomplishments and how it reflects positively on the state of Missouri. It was another general pep rally that some of his state of the state addresses turn into, but one that was a little less boisterous than last year's.
Joe, do you catch anything that reflected the fact it's an election year?
Well, Okay. It wasn't so much by what the governor did. As Marshall said, he talked about the past. I was really surprised he didn't at least set things up. The governor, for our listeners, cannot run for reelection. He doesn't appear he has plans to run for anything else, but some believe that he hopes to possibly get an appointment if Hillary Clinton ends up being the next president. But just while he's speaking, Lieutenant Governor Peter Kinder, who's one of the Republicans who is running to succeed him, who is sitting like behind him on the platform, is tweeting criticisms of what the governor is saying as he's saying it. And in fact, one of Kinder's tweets was, "Retweet this if you're glad this is Nixon's last state address." I mean, it was that kind of stuff. His spokesman emphasized that he wasn't being disparaging. She said he was just being honest. But I can't imagine, if it wasn't an election year, that you'd have the lieutenant governor doing that. And you had at least two of the other Republican contenders for governor also sent out statements afterwards blasting what the governor had to say. And there are some in both parties. In fact, the Senate leader, Ron Richard, who's a Republican, has commented that he feels like half his caucus is running for statewide office. So some are looking through any comment by any top Republican through the political lens. So it was more what other people were saying that was being viewed politically than what Nixon was.
Dave, they're not going to give him anything during an election year. They're not going to increase the clout of the Democratic Party, are they?
No, not at all, and they won't give an inch. And we've seen in this really polarized environment in the last few years so much partisanship that very few people in one party will give much credit to people in the other party who hold important positions like the governorship. The thing about this year, I suspect, and Joe's comments about the tweeting from behind Nixon, first, social media have made things a little bit different and a little bit more immediate and succinctly negative in a way that things maybe could be a little more polite in the past when statements were a little longer and could be a little more indirect. And the other thing is that I don't think anybody knows what's going on in the United States, and that means in Missouri either, as far as where we're going in the presidential election. And there's a kind of a combination of caution and partisan sort of automatic responses to people in the other party that is really showing a kind of uncertainty about where things are going in the country politically.
Yeah. You know, there's something that caught my eye is he did propose a pay increase of 2% for state employees. And I suppose the legislature, because it's an election year, will be happy to do that for him.
I would think that the chances that a raise will come through are reasonable. I think, you know, it depends on where they wind up settling on the budget, I think.
Yeah. Joe Marshall, thoughts on that?
I think, as I mentioned before, I think most of the political posturing is going to be in some of the issues, and it's not going to be on stuff like that that kind of just gets controversial among the rank and file in the building. But you'll see more stuff like not just photo ID, you know, abortion, Medicaid. Just there'll be fights over everything else.
And if I can throw in, they don't have an official agreement on the revenue estimate between the governor's office and the House and Senate budget leaders. So if you know, there's kind of a Dan Hogg at the budget, the acting budget director, I believe, said last night that there was an unofficial agreement. But I'm wondering if that unofficial agreement not being official might come into play later. If the governor decides that the Republicans have sent him an out of balance budget and needs to be cut somewhere here and there, then you might see some less controversial things or things that normally would be not so controversial get cut.
Another issue I'd like to bring in here, and that with comments made last night by the governor with regard to LGBT issues and discrimination. Let's hear what he had to say about that, and we'll get your comment.
No one should be discriminated against because of who they love. come a long way on this issue, but there is more to be done. It's unacceptable that Missourians can still be fired for being gay. That's wrong, and it's not who we are.
Governor Jay Nixon speaking last night. Marshall, I'll start with you. Is that going to have any traction in the legislature?
I don't think it'll have much. I can tell you that at least one senator, Mike Kehoe, was quoted about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago when directly asked about this. And pardon me there. He basically, in effect, said that he worried that expanding the definition would hurt small businesses, might make them susceptible to lawsuits, and that would be one reason why he would oppose expanding the definition.
Joe?
Well, I think this is the kind of thing you would expect from a Democrat. Listeners, if they heard just a little bit of applause, that was almost totally from the small Democratic group lawmakers in the chamber. The Republicans did not applaud at all, even though some may actually agree with them. This is the kind of thing that some of the Democrats, including Missouri Attorney General Chris Koster, have been saying for a while. Of course, he's running for governor now. This is the kind, in Nixon's case, some pessimistically may say, well, he put it in there because that's what he's going, that's the kind of support he's going to need to show if he's going to be considered for any sort of national post. But I think he definitely believes it. It's just that this was one of the first times he'd actually put it in a major address.
Dave Robertson, you know, this train has left the station, this whole LGBT thing. I mean, the way it's moving so quickly across the country today, sooner or later, Missouri's going to have to catch up with it, wouldn't you think?
Well, in terms of gay marriage, we have caught up. But in terms of protections in the workplace, that does touch on private employers and small business. And once it gets framed in that way, it becomes a real cleavage issue between Republicans and Democrats. And even some Democrats don't want to bear the burden of being accused of hurting small business. So it becomes a lot more controversial when that's the way the issue is framed.
Yeah. Just changing direction here a little bit. Did the governor make any reference last night at all to anything we might consider Ferguson-related? It was such an issue for him during the last year and a half. Marshall, we'll start with you. Joe, go ahead.
No, he said nothing, and which is stunning because in his speech last year, he actually diverted from the expected script and spent are at least 5 to 10 minutes talking about Ferguson and sort of really the effects and all that. It was stunning because he didn't just start right into the budget. This time there was hardly anything. It really didn't come up that much, except for the use of force stuff. There is some specific legislation that's being talked about as far as police use of force, but I think he framed it more in police use of force terms as opposed to Ferguson.
Yeah, and I think that got maybe one small paragraph in his entire speech, maybe two. I mean, he didn't even utter the name Ferguson at all in his address.
Dave Robertson, right. your thoughts on that. Were you surprised that there's no lip service at all to this this subject?
I was a little bit surprised, but in facing that crowd, I think you were probably not going to get very far talking about the kinds of things he probably would like to talk about with respect to Ferguson and with some of the things that have followed with it, like the protests at the University of Missouri campus in Columbia. You know, that stuff has been on the agenda. It's made, it's gotten a good deal of attention nationwide, not just in Missouri, but the kind of attention it's got has been pretty divisive. So in a lot of ways, I think everybody was running away from a divisive issue, and it's an issue that has to be addressed, and I think it's unfortunate that it didn't come up.
Marshall, does use of force or changing the law with that in that regard, does that have any chance of passage this year?
I doubt it. I don't want to say absolutely not, but I think it will probably get committee hearings. Possibly could get a floor debate, maybe reach perfection process. But at this point, I seriously doubt that it will make it out.
Joe, do you agree with Dave that the legislators are running away from this issue?
Well, I think it's become extremely divisive, as he mentioned. I just don't see there's many who cast this as definitely either you support law enforcement or you don't. And all you had to do was look at the comments by many of the Republican candidates for governor after the speech who brought up, like, the unrest on the campus in disparaging terms, saying it was an example of lawlessness in the state. So, I mean, it's seen very differently.
Marshall, I'll come back to you as a man on the ground there year-round. What are the chances of a transportation tax? The governor obviously needs money or feels the state needs money to improve infrastructure. Will the legislature comply?
I think it'll get further this year. I don't know if it'll actually make it out. I will say this. If you may remember last year, Governor Nixon actually mentioned turning I-70 into a toll road. That did not come up again this year. He did, of course, mention the fuel tax and express support for that. Now, there is a bill to do that in the Senate, and it's sponsored by a Republican, not a Democrat. I think for that reason, it's got a better chance of getting further. I don't know if it'll make it out, though. House Speaker Todd Richardson, in his response, actually proposed bringing back the cost share program that MoDOT suspended a couple of years ago due to declining revenues. Todd Richardson suggested that using cost share, which the cost of a project would be shared between the state and local governments, but he suggested that approach would actually encourage businesses and other companies to develop and to put more resources into that community and would help create jobs. And Richardson said that would work without raising one penny of any family's taxes. Now, so that's the approach that Richardson is championing. So a fuel tax increase may not have much of a chance in the House if that's the approach they're going to stick with.
What do you think, Joe?
Well, I think there has already been a lot of talk on the campaign trail among all the major candidates for governor in both parties about the need for transportation. So I think there may be some talk about it, but I agree with Marshall. I'm not sure anything's gonna happen.
Do you have a thought on this, Dave?
A lot of people in the majority are inclined to support highways, but they're even more inclined to oppose tax increases, and I suspect that will win out.
I'd like to play a clip now from Ron Richardson. The Republicans, of course, responded following Jay Nixon's State of the State address last night. Let's hear what he had to say, and we'll talk a bit about the Republicans.
The unfortunate truth that those of us who serve in this building know is that the Jay Nixon in speeches, press conferences, and television commercials is not the same Jay Nixon we see in the Capitol.
That's House Speaker Ron Richardson speaking last night.
Todd Richardson.
Todd Richardson, I beg your pardon, responding last night to the Governor's State of the State address. These folks really don't seem to like each other. Is that too strong? Joe, what do you think?
Well, I think that Todd Richardson, who's younger, I'm not sure that he has the same sort of personal dislike that, let's say, if you go back to former House Speaker Tim Jones, it's a couple back, where there was some intense dislike between him and the governor. I'm not sure that Todd Richardson and Governor Nixon are in that scenario, but I think that Richardson is very well aware that there are many in his caucus who are not fans of the governor. And Richardson has been candid on our Politically Speaking podcast and elsewhere that he just thinks that Nixon hasn't stepped up to do what he believes needs to be done to help the state. So, and Richardson really believes that. But I think it's more policy differences than personal with him.
He says the governor is all talk and no action. His words.
Yeah, that's his words. And one of the things that that the governor said earlier before the start of the session was that he planned to spend more time on the third floor, spending more time with lawmakers. And I can tell you that Todd Richardson, after the first couple of days in session, and Ron Richard echoed it, said, well, you know, we haven't really seen him yet, and we don't really expect to. There's always been the criticism that the governor doesn't involve himself in whatever, you know, whatever he hopes lawmakers will do, waits until he gets the bill and then criticizes it and vetoes it. And they've accused him of that approach. Todd Richardson specifically brought up the student transfer bill in his response, saying that the governor asked the lawmakers to send him something. They did so 2 years in a row, and he rebuffed both of those bills both times.
Now, I do want to contrast the current state with early on in Nixon's tenure, where he actually had very good relations with the then Senate President Charlie Shields. He and Shields used to have breakfast or lunch almost every day during the session. There was a lot of regular contact, even though Shields was a Republican and Nixon was a Democrat. You haven't seen that kind of relationship between the governor, frankly, and lawmakers in either party. I mean, it's not the same as his first couple of years, where there was a few on both sides where he had somewhat of a personal relationship with. There's no hint that he has that now.
Yeah. We're pretty much going to have to leave it at that, but I'll give David Robertson the final thought. Do you have a final thought about all of this, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, for a long time, members of the legislature have seen that the sort of bipartisan informal interaction, going on trips, vacationing together with families, that kind of stuff is a thing of the past. And, you know, it just seems to continue to get more and more divided. And I think that's an example of that.
Very much so. Well, I want to thank you all for being with us and analyzing what was spoken last night by the governor of the state of Missouri, Marshall Griffin, Joe Madison, David Robertson. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In just a moment, we'll talk with Gina Galati, founder and executive director of Winter Opera St. Louis. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.